think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
After more than 3 weeks of dysfunction and chaos on Capitol Hill, the House finally has a new speaker this morning. House lawmakers elected Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana as the 56th Speaker of the House. He's a conservative ally of former President Donald Trump and a low-ranking member of the GOP leadership team. After 22 days of disarray, Republican House members demonstrated remarkable unity with all 220 voting for Johnson. Meanwhile, former President Trump congratulated the new speaker by posting on social media, quote, MAGA Mike Johnson, adding that Johnson will be, quote, a great speaker.
Well, there you have it, as presented by MSNBC, Mika Brzezinski, using all of the buttons she can push, firebrand words, labels, anything she can to immediately dismiss the fact that Mike Johnson is now Speaker of the House. She knows the buzzwords, Trump, Trump, Trump supporter, Trump said great MAGA speaker. All the knives are being sharpened already by the left. They were loving the fact that the Republicans could not get their act together after they ousted McCarthy. And yes, I still say Matt Gaetz of Florida should not have made that move unless he had a specific next step, which he didn't. And then we go through all this, and then of course we have Jordan up. There's another Trump supporter, apparently too much of a firebrand, even for some of the Republicans thought maybe we shouldn't get that. So they thought we'll go with eventually with Mike. He's a little more milquetoast compared to Trump. And when you listen to him speak, you definitely hear a difference. But when you listen to MSNBC and the leftist media, it's Trump in disguise. That's what it is. Not Judy in disguise. Trump in disguise. Thanks for joining us. Here we are, October the 26th, 2023. You're in the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back-to-back right here for you. And, of course, while we're on the air, we're also streaming video you can watch either now or later at your pleasure. Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. And if you miss any of the video and our audio and you want to go back and check it or share it with friends, I always encourage you to share. You go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and you'll find everything you want. LarryConnorsUSA.com. It's all branded the same. You're not going to find it anywhere but by Larry Connors USA, and there you find a gold mine. So, yes, we did have Mike Johnson with the unanimous support of the Republicans. The first unanimous support of a House Speaker since John Boehner. So it's pretty big. But, some of the members voting for him, they probably had reached a point, as you're going to hear later, that we got to do something. We're not looking so good here. And that I would agree with. Because they looked like not only they were stalemating out, but they were wearing themselves out. They were losing left and right, and everything they did looked like a joke with no punchline. But Mike Johnson, in his address to Congress, his first address as Speaker of the House, and of course some of the Democrats would stand and applaud politely. Some would not even stand. And I think you could probably name some of those who sat on their hands. But here's Mike Johnson in his first address to Congress.
We have a challenge before us right now to rebuild and restore that trust. This is a beautiful country. It's the beauty of America that allows a firefighter's kid like me to come here and serve in this sacred chamber where great men and women have served before all of us and strived together to build and then preserve what Lincoln did refer to as the last best hope of man on earth. We stand at a very dangerous time. I'm stating the obvious. We all know that. The world is in turmoil. But a strong America is good for the entire world. We are the beacon of freedom, and we must preserve this grand experiment in self-governance. It still is. We're only 247 years into this grand experiment. We don't know how long it will last, but we do know that the founders told us to take good care of it.
Take good care of it. And I think it's a good decision. Of course, the actions need to follow the words. That's with every politician. He got the unanimous support, as I said. That proved almost impossible. Well, it was impossible for Majority Leader Steve Scalise, also Louisiana. Mike Johnson is a Louisiana congressman. And, of course, Judiciary Committee Chair Jim Jordan of Ohio, he couldn't get complete support, nor could Majority Whip Tom Emmer of Minnesota. The Hill quickly points out, The Hill publication, Johnson is, quote, a staunch social conservative. And then also adds, as well as a strong ally of former President Trump. And that is true. He aided Trump's quest to overturn the 2020 election results. He has a lot of challenges ahead. One would be, can he actually unify his conference? Even though he got all votes, can he really unify them? I'm looking again at the piece from The Hill, and they say, during one meeting, Congressman Mike Bost, Republican of Illinois, was widely reported to almost lunged in frustration at Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida, who led the move to oust McCarthy. So there have been some tempers running red hot, no doubt about it. But you don't have to have all the Republicans do that or anything like that. The leftists will be more than glad to carve it all up for you. Charlie Sykes is a political commentator for MSNBC, and they list him as a conservative political commentator.
No question who the biggest winners are here. Matt Gaetz, maybe loathed by his colleagues, but he got his way, right? He blew it up. He managed to torpedo Kevin McCarthy, to block Steve Scalise, to shiv Tom Emmer, and eventually did get his own candidate. Adam Kinzinger describes him, Mike Johnson, as Jim Jordan in drag. So there's no question about it. I mean, this is a full MAGA. This is a full MAGA speaker. You know, to describe him as one of the chief architects of the Electoral College objections actually understates Mike Johnson's role. I mean, Mike Johnson is a full-throated believer in Kraken-level conspiracy theories about Dominion, about Hugo Chavez. If he had gotten his way, tens of millions of votes would have been thrown out.
Those are the words of a conservative political commentator on MSNBC, Charlie Sykes. Well, of course, the other issue he's facing rapidly is, can he keep the government open? We have, of course, right now, if a deal is not reached by November 17, that's the government shutdown clock. And, of course, McCarthy was doomed by his decision to approve a stopgap deal that leaned heavily on Democrat support. But the other thing Johnson said in his opening speech yesterday, I want to work for partisanship.
We all know that we also live in a time of bitter partisanship. It was noted. And it's been on display here today, right? When our people are losing their faith in government, when they're losing sight of the principles that made us the greatest nation in the history of the world, I think we got to be mindful of that. We're going to fight. We're going to fight vigorously over our core principles, because they're at odds a lot of times now in this modern era. We have to sacrifice sometimes our preferences because that's what's necessary in a legislative body. But we will defend our core principles to the end.
Well, core principles, again, you've heard that he was and is a Trump supporter, has Trump's endorsement. And that is in one question for many, since he typically or almost apparently factually owes his speakership to Donald Trump. How's he going to deal with the former president, and what's he going to do that no one else was willing to do that Trump might want done? To that point again, going back to MSNBC, and you're going to hear from Charlie Sykes again, his view, and also Jacqueline Alamein, who's with the Washington Post, and their opinions.
For a brief 5 minutes, it looked like the moderates were going to hold the line, but ultimately the squishes did what squishes always do, and the fact that it was unanimous is also extraordinary.
And that was my question to you, Jackie Alamein. What happened here? What changed when you had people like Ken Buck and others saying, I will not support somebody who is an election denier?
Exactly.
Full stop. Yeah. And then yesterday, he got the votes he needed.
It was a really remarkable turn of events to see someone with perhaps the lowest name ID in all of American history become speaker in a matter of less than 24 hours, actually, with a full support of his conference. I think that Johnson benefited from a number of things, primarily the fact that he has no national profile. Even his colleagues didn't have time to properly vet him, as one lawmaker told me. He didn't have time to go through all of his votes overnight in that period from Tuesday night, when Tom Emmer stormed out of the House GOP conference, dropping out a speaker, and when Mike Johnson then became the speaker designate to vote the next morning. He also benefited from fatigue, I think, if lawmakers are being honest. I asked Johnson right after he gave his press conference, his first press conference as House GOP speaker, whether or not he believed the 2020 election was stolen, and he simply said that his position was well known and that he wasn't going to be talking about issues yesterday.
And they didn't like that because they were trying to pin him down on the spot, like you put a butterfly down on the board and pin its wings. But yes, he has history. He is known as election denier, climate skeptic, anti-abortion, and other things. So they're going to look for any targets they can. He also has to deal with Ukraine, money for Ukraine, and he, like many, has been saying, I don't think we need to give more money to Ukraine. If we do, it should not be tied up in money for Israel. But when it comes to Israel, Mike Johnson is very firm.
Turmoil and violence have rocked the Middle East and Eastern Europe. We all know it. And tensions continue to build in the Indo-Pacific. The country demands strong leadership of this body, and we must not waver. Our nation's greatest ally in the Middle East is under attack. The first bill that I'm going to bring to this floor in just a little while will be in support of our dear friend Israel, and we're overdue in getting that done.
And he did do so, and he thinks it's time to get it done and move forward and help Israel immediately. Now, on that front, on the Israeli-Hamas battle, there are signs that the Israeli ground invasion is beginning, slowly, cautiously, but there is movement.
Israeli tanks enter northern Gaza, setting the stage for Israel's next phase of combat. A full ground war has not started yet, but airstrikes are hitting the Gaza Strip nonstop. They've already reduced entire neighborhoods to rubble.
Because of the bombing, destruction, and killing, I came to seek shelter inside this camp with 9 members of my family in 2 cars. I had to sleep out in the open in the heat for 10 days to get a tent.
Israel says it is striking targets of the Islamist militant group Hamas, considered a terrorist organization by many Western governments. According to the UN, about 1.4 million Gazans are now displaced.
That's a lot to be displaced, and of course they're still trying to decide how they're going to handle them. There have still been apparently trucks full of aid going in at the Rafah crossing where Gaza connects to Egypt. But Egypt is not allowing anyone to come out of Gaza to escape. The Israelis have made it clear to them, you need to move out of the northern part of Gaza, in Gaza City, and go to the south, closer to Egypt, because that's where we're going to be focusing our firepower and our commandos when we go in. Of course, that also serves as a notice and a warning to Hamas. Move what you want out of the northern part right now, put it in the south so you'll be able to use it there, protect it, and some of your people. And, of course, they continue hiding amongst the public and the residents and the babies in the northern part of Gaza, willing to use them as shields against Israeli troops coming in. Now, we have seen members of Congress throughout this time stand up and shout for the PLO. Okay. Congresswoman Tlaib putting a PLO flag outside her office door in Congress. She's entitled to do that. She's done it in the past. But then to put it out there now after the horrific, barbaric, inhumane treatment that Hamas did to Jews in Israel when they invaded October 7th, and she has yet to denounce it's wrong to cut the heads of babies off or to do what they did, raping children in front of their parents. Not one denouncement. So to that extent, now that the House is back in session, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia stepped forward with a resolution.
A resolution censuring Representative Rashida Tlaib for anti-Semitic activity, sympathizing with terrorist organizations, and leading an insurrection at the United States Capitol Complex. Whereas in May 2019, Rashida Tlaib said that she celebrated the Holocaust and felt a calming feeling when thinking about the genocide of millions of Jews. Whereas in 2020, Rashida Tlaib retweeted an illustration with the caption, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free." And this Palestine Liberation Organization PLO slogan has been adopted by Hamas and calls for the elimination of Israel and death to all Jews.
So for that reason, and others that she followed up with, I don't have time for, but you get the picture. Marjorie Taylor Greene said that Congresswoman Tlaib needs to be censured. Well, what does that mean exactly? It is not found in the Constitution. It basically amounts to a condemnation and calling someone out, kind of a formal statement that we disapprove of what you've done. It doesn't mean there's actually going to be action taken against the person, but they're going to be called out for it. Now, in the House, how the vote's going to go, that will be interesting. And I certainly would hope they do a roll call vote so we see who's willing to call Tlaib out for that. I know some won't. Cori Bush won of Missouri. Nor will AOC. Nor will Ilhan Omar. But how many Republicans will refuse to sign off on that censure? And how many Democrats will accept it? And that I want to see. Next hour, more of Speaker Mike Johnson's first address to Congress and points he wants to drive home and how he sees America moving forward, not just the House. Plus, more evidence on how screwed up the Department of Homeland Security is. In fact, coming up next, you might be in a group the Biden White House and DHS considers neo-Nazi. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. 4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
I am flesh and I am bone, rise up, ting, ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul, rise up, ting, ting, like glitter. Yeah, like glitter and gold. Yeah, like glitter. Do you walk in the Valley of Kings?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
As I mentioned going into the break, you might actually belong to a party or some kind of group or organization that has suddenly been listed by the DHS, and you might be considered a neo-Nazi. Oh, you didn't know that? Good thing the Heritage Foundation continues to keep track on this kind of stuff. Joining us now is Mike Howe with the Foundation Oversight Committee. Mike, first of all, welcome aboard.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're a little distant there. Can you, are you on speaker so I can get you a little closer, better sound?
I'm on the phone. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, that's much better. Thank you. So we have a pyramid of far-right radicalization, which also lists you guys, the Heritage Foundation, as being among neo-Nazis.
That's absolutely right. And guess what? You know who paid for it? You did, and I did. The Department of Homeland Security gave $350K. That's a lot of money. That's a comma in six digits, all the way to the Dayton, you know, Ohio University program, where they had this so-called expert come up with a pyramid to radicalization, where they had, you know, Heritage and Fox News, the NRA at the bottom, and basically made the implication that if you start at the bottom, you work your way up top. Guess what's at top? The liberals' favorite thing, Nazis. And that's what they put out, and that's how your Department of Homeland Security works.
Yeah, and when I'm looking at this, you're right. I've got the pyramid right here in front of me. Those of you watching on the screen and following us on our stream, you can see that it does exist. And all at the base, you've got Fox, as you said, and the Republicans and the Heritage Foundation. And up next level up above you, PragerU, and up above that is what do we have here? It looks like NRA or something. And then higher up, you've got true Nazism. I mean, somebody sat down after getting $350,000 and drew this. I've got some 4 or 5 year olds that could do the same thing and just put people in that they want to.
You're absolutely right. I mean, one way to look at it is the, you know, ancient Egyptian, they built real pyramids. They probably didn't spend that much money. And you got the Biden administration, they got to, you know, outsource this work. Their own bureaucrats sitting around can't even come up with this. And you look at it, it's a sloppy copy and paste mechanism. I mean, it's like kids painted Microsoft
right.
Office, but we're suing them, and it's really unfortunate because, you know, you and I as American citizens have rights under the Freedom of Information Act, and you simply ask for something, and you're entitled to the, you know, communications about yourself, and so we did that. We obeyed the legal process, and the Department of Homeland Security has refused to turn over a shred of paper to us, so we got to take them to federal court. We're going to pony up. We're going to litigate this, and this simple. You know, what did you do with the tape there, Med? What were you saying about the Heritage Foundation, Fox News, everyone else on the ground? And so that's where we're at now.
Well, and as you point out, it's a sad day when the patriotic citizens have to sue their government for targeting them.
That's absolutely correct. It shouldn't have to work this way. I mean, you had Merrick Garland at the beginning of this administration claiming that it would be the most transparent in American history. Right. And we're talking about in the age of ChatGPT and, you know, quick internet searches and servers. They could turn over this information in a day if they wanted to. And they're not, because they know it's bad. And so this is the country we live in, where you have a regime that's occupied by the Biden administration, where you just have to sue them to get information out. That's how they play ball. And you're paying for the Biden administration's legal defense, too.
So you filed this yesterday. At what time do you think you're going to get some kind of hearing and see some movement on it?
So it varies. We have 30 such of these types of cases. It could be any time from, you know, a few weeks to get kind of a hearing, and the government will come back and say, like, here's our position, here's how many documents we have, here's why we think we don't have to give them to you. We have some cases that have been going on for, you know, over a year. So it really all depends on the judge you draw and the arguments that the department puts up. But this one should be pretty clean cut. I mean, you have a third party in the University of, you know, I think it's Dayton that came up with this graph. And so I want to know what they were talking with them about, and if this hate pyramid made its way into DHS products, or, you know, garnered any reaction from Secretary Mayorkas, you know, who's sitting around the office not doing anything to secure the border. Maybe he played around with this hate pyramid.
Oh, yeah, the same thing about labeling parents going to school board meetings as terrorists as well, right?
Now, that's absolutely right, yep.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here thinking, when you go in to file the suit, you already have some preconceived ideas of what you're going to find. You just got to see it. So what are you expecting to find that will prove that this is not just Mickey Mouse playing around? This is damaging and damning to American citizens.
Right. So what I expect happened is the same thing that happens across the board. It's basically the way the left uses federal law enforcement is they plug it into all these, you know, extremist kind of networks. And far left organizations, whether it's Southern Poverty Law Center, the ADL, these people came up with this hate pyramid, and they use what they give them to generate law enforcement activity, you know, as the predicate for later action. And so I'm expecting to find, you know, this coming back into the Super Department, and the department integrating that work into, you know, formal government findings and, you know, any discussions that they may have had as a result of this. Because, you know, in a proper country, the reaction should have been, this is anti-First Amendment behavior. This is extreme. We want our money back from this grantee. Never work with them again. And so I'm expecting that I will not find that conversation, but instead I'll find out, hey, this is a great pyramid.
You talk about those discussions. I could just see them sitting around spitballing, so to speak, and thinking, what else can we do to attack those on the right? I mean, come up with something. How about a pyramid? And let's just start putting things in those spaces.
Yeah, they're just playing with shapes. Well, there'll be a hate globe next and, you know, a rectangle or something. But that's what they do all day.
But the other point is, while they're doing this, there are things they're not doing. They're not dealing with the violence that is very clear in the nation, anti-Semitic. And, of course, you asked that of KJP, the White House spokeswoman, about the rise of anti-Semitism. She suddenly jumps into, well, there's a rise of Islamophobia. Now, I mean, they are never going to answer anything straight. You're going to have documentation, recordings, to prove where they were going and what was, quote, inside their little brain.
That's absolutely right. And that's why we have to, you know, build our own litigation and investigation team at the Heritage Oversight Project. And, usually you get the stuff through reporting, you know, and just the media. But since the media has become largely captured interest, and we're left to having to fight for transparency. So we file these things, we sue, we conduct investigations every single day. But it really shouldn't have to be this way. I mean, there should be an element of transparency. There should be an adverse media. And we just don't have those things. And so that's why, you know, me and my team do what we do every day.
How would you rate this and what you're trying to accomplish with it, with all the other things you have in the oversight area that you're trying to get some coherent understanding or call them out? Let me put it that way.
Right. I think this fits into a broad category that is a top priority, which is the weaponization of government, and particularly the law enforcement areas. So we have several lawsuits as it relates to, you know, the Department of Justice, FBI, basically, settling the Joe Biden and Hunter investigation while going full bore elsewhere against conservatives across the country. And, you know, this relates to that. We also have another suit about Southern Poverty Law Center working with the federal government to target Moms for Liberty. But that's the overall theme, I think, of a lot of our work and probably our top priority is that, you know, when we formed the Department of Homeland Security after 9/11, the idea was don't let another 9/11 happen to
right.
You know, secure the border. And this is what they're doing now. And so Americans need to recognize that these law enforcement entities that we want to love are working against the everyday American. So this is another piece of that puzzle that we're putting together for folks.
Well, that's the other issue. Again, I stated it once, and you have, and I want to re-emphatically state it again. While they're messing around this kind of nonsense, they're really missing the big picture of what the country is facing. That's an invasion right now.
That's absolutely right. I mean, we're talking tens of millions that have shown up at the border. The deportation machine has been ground to a halt. These are permanent changes that have happened to this country that will be very difficult to undo. It is a voter registration project and massive human resettlement project on absolute steroids. And we, at a time of global conflict, we have all these foreign allegiances flowing through our borders. And we have our domestic and, you know, even foreign law enforcement capabilities and intelligence capabilities focused on the American citizens. And so we've lost control of this system in more ways than one.
You're listening to Mike Howell, the federal oversight for the Heritage Foundation. I don't see any group on here that might have been guilty of chopping off heads of babies or killing innocent people or, you know, burning people who just have a different religion. This almost, in one way, looks like they're just always trying to distract from what the real issues the nation and the world are facing.
You're absolutely right. I mean, the label of terrorist and domestic terrorist, that used to have meaning in this country. And, I mean, we're not, again, that far away from 9/11 when we organized what we thought was a governmental response to it. But what you're seeing is the left excuse the organizations and entities that actually deserve that title, when we're talking about Hamas, you know, right now, and try to apply those titles, frameworks, and legal justifications to their political opponents. I mean, this is really Orwellian to overuse, you know, that comparison, but that's what's happening. They are using these enhanced governmental authorities of surveillance, investigation, you know, even litigation, and they're deploying it against their political enemies. But that's not what this government was intended to do. It's certainly not what was promised to Americans after the advent of, you know, right after 9/11. We turned it inwards instead of on the enemy. The government has declared a new enemy, and that enemy is conservatives.
Well, later for my audience, I'm going to share some of the latest questioning of DHS dumbheads who have no idea what's going on anyway. But in the final 30 seconds, once you actually get in front of a court with this issue, this lawsuit, or you think they may try to dismiss it and move on, I gather you guys are going to be like a dog after a bone. They're not going to walk away.
Right. Where we're at, and again, we've sued them well over 30 times, is that they have free attorneys, you know, because their attorneys are paid for out of the taxpayers. And so they know that they can just devote as many attorneys to these cases as possible to raise the cost for us to sue them and to delay the inevitable outcome of, you know, getting documents out to the American people. And so that's what's basically happening in the information litigation context right now, is you're paying for no transparency. It's coming out of your checkbook.
I wish you'd quit emphasizing mine. Wish you're just yours. Thanks, Mike.
You got it.
All right, Mike Howell with the Heritage Foundation. Thank you very much. Yeah, you're going to hear later in the second hour more about how the DHS is screwing up, but also you're going to hear coming up more from Mike Johnson.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I have only one recommendation for you when it comes to jewelry, Vincent's Jewelers. I've had Vincent's custom make some pieces for me. I bought quality pieces right out of the case. Vincent's locally owned, supporting local charities for more than 42 years. Check their website daily for new items or specials. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Give Vincent's a chance for your business. Vincent's, my only jeweler. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President Xi is really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Aid is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So I cannot ignore, obviously, the tragedy that is happening in Maine, but I'm going to try to give it a better perspective than you might be getting if you're listening to state-controlled media, which I doubt many of you do anyway. A guy on the rampage, shooting and killing at least 18, wounding 13 or more. The numbers can shift and change. Some of the injured might end up dying. No clear motive, does not seem to be targeting anything except soft targets. A gun instructor, by the way, and he's just been moving from location to location as he started the killing spree late yesterday. And Maine families have been told, stay inside your homes. We don't know where the guy is. That's, you know, the way it was going down overnight. So Moms Demand Action founder Shannon Watts, among those, along with Joe Biden and the rest of them, racing forward. We need more gun control. Gun control would have stopped this. I'm going to remind you again. Forget the weapon the guy has. Put it on the table. Walk away. It will not kill anyone. It's when someone picks it up with the intent to kill. Now, the intent to kill is a crime. Oh, they don't care about the crime, do they? Obviously they don't. But they want more checks. Now, there could be some failings in the background check on this guy because some word had come out that he had had some mental instability and a couple months ago might have been undergoing some treatment. That should have been a key, and at that point maybe check, see if he has weapons, what's going on. Red flag laws you have to be very careful with because that could be just someone, they don't like the way you cut your grass. They call the police, say, I know he's got a rifle or a pistol. I've seen him go hunting. And they come in and take it away because he didn't like the way you cut your grass, not because you're a threat. But here comes Moms Demand Action founder Shannon Watts criticizing the lack of gun control in the state, and she did so prior to a shooting suspect actually being apprehended at that time, and any real facts, just gut reaction. She put out a quote in a tweet, Maine does not require background checks on all gun sales. have a red flag law, prevent domestic abusers from accessing guns, ban assault weapons. What is an assault weapon again? Oh, yeah. They can't give you a real answer on that. Limit magazine capacity, require concealed carry permits, restrict open carry. She did all of that just based off of the fact that the shooting was going on. Beyond that, she didn't know anything. Then she continued, this year, Republicans in Maine rejected a bill that Moms Demand fought for that would have required a 72-hour waiting period. That's it. 72 effing hours was too much to ask the GOP to buy a gun. This guy already had guns. As I said, he was an instructor, is known to be an instructor anyway. And then she adds, it's harder to buy Sudafed than an AR-15 in Maine. She did not mention that California has all the gun controls she accused of Maine of not having. And yet in 2021, California led the nation in active shooter incidents. She also criticized again the Maine gun control facts before even facts about the shootings or definite details about the suspect were known. She offers a criticism when she knows nothing about even how the guy got the guns. I mean, all this is just knee-jerk reaction. Jump to a conclusion. Anytime there's something like this happens, it must be incumbent upon more gun laws. First of all, the gun laws you have, you need to make sure that they're followed properly. If there were some background checks that were not correctly followed, then obviously you need to do something. And, of course, anytime somebody lies, and I'm not saying this guy did, but I want you to consider something. Anytime someone lies on a federal application to get a gun, denies they're a coke dealer, involved in drugs, so forth, then they should be locked up and put in jail, such as, I got ahead of myself. That has not happened to Hunter Biden, has it? I have yet to see members of the left who are all about more and stricter gun controls call out Hunter Biden needs to be behind bars right now. That's an easy open and shut case. He lied on his federal application. And when you lie on that, you go to jail. There are a lot of folks in jail behind bars right now that have done so. But ironically, the left is all about criticizing white privilege. The majority of those in jail for those kinds of crimes are probably minority. And here's white privilege Joe Biden, Hunter's son, Joe Biden with his son. And Hunter is not served a day in jail for that and may not. Where is your demand for that? If you want to say that no one's above the law and you want tougher gun control laws, then you should want to enforce them, regardless of who violates them. And Hunter Biden did. You think they'll get around to discussing that at any point on this story? Probably not. But it is a tragedy. Anytime you have a mass shooting, it is. But the knee-jerk reaction that you need to have fewer guns, more gun controls, and things would be better. I'm always amazed in some cases, not in Maine in particular, but in some cases when a shooting goes down that there aren't more people that are carrying weapons for their own protection who might step in and try to put down the shooter. It happens from time to time, and hopefully they've had enough training and experience that they aim is true and correct, and no innocent person gets killed by someone trying to stop the crime from going down. But right now, we have, in some areas you go into, no gun zones posted. And if they have metal detectors, it will make sure if you try to come in with a gun, they're going to stop you. That's where the soft targets exist. The guy that's willing to go in and kill someone doesn't care about your stupid sign. your gun laws or anything else. They're going to do what they're going to do. And if they're going in to kill, that's what they're going to do. So where are your gun laws, your gun regulations? Where is that going to stop that? The answer is not. But it gives them another rally cry and a chance to raise more money. And yes, we will grieve and pray for those who've lost loved ones, as we should. You shouldn't take any of this with the belief that, well, it's just what they deserve since they want to push this kind of stuff. No, no one deserves this. But we do deserve the right to our Second Amendment. And right now, with a lot of the folks that have come across our southern border, they've not been vetted. We don't know who they are, what their intentions are. You do need to hold that Second Amendment close and a weapon close in the event you need it. Now, yes, in part of his acceptance speech, the new House Speaker, Louisiana Congressman Mike Johnson, took time to acknowledge God's role in our nation. I'm glad he did. That's coming up.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount. They pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I believe that Scripture, the Bible, is very clear that God is the one that raises up those in authority. He raised up each of you, all of us. And I believe that God has ordained and allowed each one of us to be brought here for this specific moment in this time. This is my belief. I believe that each one of us has a huge responsibility today to use the gifts that God has given us to serve the extraordinary people of this great country, and they deserve it. And to ensure that our republic remains standing as the great beacon of light and hope and freedom in a world that desperately needs it.
Yes, our world does need everything he spoke of. He was very clear that his belief in God had basically put members in Congress where they are. This is not an issue of preordained, but it is an issue of God's selection and decisions, which we will never fully understand. The Bible makes it very clear. There are things that God does that we have no understanding, never will. Maybe in time some things are unveiled, some aren't. But we are also facing a trial right now that could end all of this. And you can argue religion one side or the other all day long if you want to. Religion is an issue of faith. Regardless of what your faith is, it is an issue of faith. You can't prove some things, but you can't see anyone else disprove anything else. I know some that have said, well, there's no way. I mean, God creating an earth, that sounds some guy in the sky, big guy in the sky creates all this. Well, that's a simplistic approach. But if you're going to take that simplistic approach, let me counter by saying, so everything we have here just happened in the creation of this world, and star was a star, dead star, whatever it was, and it just all kind of happened. Which seems more logical? That somebody, God, had a plan and made things happen, or that it just two things, whatever they were called then, collided, and look what we have now. Well, look what we have now is a threat to the world. Boots on the Ground Andrew sent me this, and I'm glad he did. It's from the World Opinions by this piece by Robert Albert Mohler Jr. He's president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Now, I used to be Southern Baptist, born in Texas, is pretty well pre-stamped on your birth certificate, Baptist. Not really. Not really, for those of you who are not sure of it. That's not real. But there are a lot. And we've talked about this before. You go into some towns in the South, you're going to find a first, second, third, maybe a fourth Baptist church. And the second wasn't formed because the first got overcrowded. It was probably formed because some of those in the first didn't really agree with everything the way it was being taught and preached in the first. So they formed a second. And then the third didn't get formed because the second got overcrowded. Again, there was a difference of opinion. Religious opinion or ego opinion, whatever it was, it created a third. And then maybe a fourth. But there's some things you cannot get past. Or as one pastor had told me, for your religion, it's all the same thing in the box. It's just wrapped differently. Different wrapping paper appeals to you this way than the other one is wrapped. Simplistic, and yet maybe pretty accurate. But Mohler talked about the 20th century knew more than its share of evil powers, all coming into view in 36 when fascist Italy and Nazi Germany declared a Rome-Berlin axis, opposing the rest of Europe. Then decades later, President George W. Bush identifying a new axis of evil, Iran, Iraq, North Korea. And now we got Ukraine fighting against a Russian invasion while Israel is dealing with a terrorist organization funded by Iran. The new axis of evil includes Russia, China, Iran, North Korea. All of them posing a threat not just to Europe, but not just the Western world either, but the world itself. He points out that Iran is probably the Axis power with the greatest intent to destroy Israel. China wants to run the world. At some point, China and Iran might face off. If you were listening to my commentary today, I pointed out, and as I did yesterday, there are a dozen nations that have nuclear weapons. And the two nations that have them that have often been considered the most likely to engage in a nuclear battle would be Pakistan and India. But Iran wants a nuclear weapon, and Saudi Arabia says if they get one, we're going to need one. And then, of course, you have North Korea, often referred to as a hermit kingdom. It wants to have its nuclear capability, and they continue test-firing rockets. But the summation of the theologian for the Southern Baptist schooling points out that, once again, we're about to find out if freedom-loving nations can muster determination to defend our freedoms against rogue regimes. Freedom, human dignity, constitutional government have enemies. We have enemies. The new axis of evil represents an unavoidable challenge. We're about to find out just how determined we are that our civilization shall exist for our own children. For our children. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.